Mrs. Bintou Keita, you are the chief of the mission in the DRC. Thank you for answering the question of UN News. You've just briefed the Security Council on the situation in the eastern DRC. And you mentioned the humanitarian truce, which started on the 5th of July. What do you expect from this truce? What do you hope?
Thank you for inviting me for this interview. Just to welcome first the truce which was established, as you said, on 5th of July. And clearly, we need more time to prepare for the humanitarian community and actors to align with further services to the internally displaced people, which is a huge number to cater for. And we believe that during this truce, access would be easier, and access in all sides of the of North Kivu particularly. But we do believe also that beyond the truce which has been negotiated with the facilitation of the United States and the support from Angola, if I understand what was said during the Security Council briefing, would be extended to also other provinces where armed groups also are creating havoc to the communities and the population. So for me, if we can manage to use that time to arrive at a cessation of hostilities, that would be fantastic, because everyone needs to go back to a normalcy in life and not being displaced, being able to go back home, and wherever state the home is, to rebuild a life.
At the end of June, as agreed with the Congolese government, MONUSCO completed its withdrawal from South Kivu, marking the end of the first phase of its disengagement from the country. What are the lessons learned from this first phase?
We have an entire team which has been set up internally, but also in relation with the national counterpart and provincial counterpart, to look at the lessons we learned from the disengagement from South Kivu. Among the biggest lessons is don't rush to put any timeline on a disengagement, because there are so many challenges that you encounter, including things that you have not anticipated, such as contingent own equipment, third-party negotiations for land, for infrastructure or bases that are on private land, taking into consideration the weather. Is it a dry season you are disengaging from, or is it a rainy season, which, depending on the poor infrastructure that exists, is creating difficulties to withdraw materials, equipment, and people. We also learned that it's not easy to increase suddenly to the level of the troops from MONUSCO for the government, because they have a pool of security forces in the army and in the police, and these over a huge country, which is a country continent. So trying to stay at par with what MONUSCO and the government has discussed back in November in the disengagement plan in terms of the numbers has been a challenge, but everyone agrees that it is a challenge, but there is still a willingness to continue for the government to increase the FRDC and the PNC. And a few days ago, they have increased the PNC, which is the Police Nationale Congolese, with 400 additional police deployed in South Kivu. With that, I believe that there are so many other lessons internally. A disengagement is it's operational, and it's also highly political. because you have to engage so many stakeholders beyond government officials. You have to engage the troop contributing countries, the police contributing countries, and you have to engage with a number of departments in New York.
MONUSCO is still present in North Kivu and Ituri, where the level of violence is very high. Do you think this high level of instability and insecurity could slow down the next phase of MONUSCO disengagement from the country?
I believe, and based on the exchange and the conversation at the presidency level in Kinshasa, the prime minister, the minister of state for foreign affairs, and including what was said this morning in the open session of the Security Council by the permanent representative of the DRC, clearly no one is saying, let's rush into the implementation of phase two. Everyone is conscious and aware that we need to consolidate what has been done in South Kivu and to draw all the lessons in order to prepare at what I will call with excellency the next phase of the disengagement. So for now, there is no running after implementation of phase two.
And on another topic, you have expressed concern in the past about the intensification of misinformation and disinformation, and MONUSCO has taken initiatives to fight against hate speech and disinformation. Has it been successful?
Clearly, I don't think we can say it is successful once for all. We've seen progress in terms of the mission apparatus and expertise, newest expertise, to deal with the mis and disinformation with the support from New York headquarters, the Stratcom and also DGC, which is helpful because it's a team and a large team from the field to headquarters. What I would say is that we have increased the number of influencers that are fact-checking young people, mostly young men, young women, doing fact-checking and being trained in terms of fact-checking and fake news, etc., but also increasing the proxies that are talking about what the mission is doing in implementation of the mandate in DRC. And I believe that all of this, plus the rigorous monitoring, twice a month, I receive what is a social listening, social media listening, and it's over time it has built on becoming more and more important for decision making in terms of what we have to pay attention to, what type of mis and disinformation is going on, and what we are doing proactively in pre-bunking. Or what are we doing in debunking?